Today on this episode of the PureDirect Special Spotlight.
One of the ways that I think about type 2 inflammation is that it's really an underlying disease that has different manifestations.
Today, Drs. Griffiths and Chase join the podcast to discuss recognizing type 2 high asthma in the clinic in this PureDirect Special Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporters.
Hello, I'm Dr. Ann Griffiths. I'm a pediatric pulmonologist at Children's Minnesota in Minneapolis.
And I'm Dr. Nicole Chase, an allergist and immunologist at St. Paul Allergy and Asthma in St. Paul.
Nicole, thank you for joining me today.
It's my pleasure, Ann.
I'd like to spend a little time discussing asthma, and specifically T2 high asthma, that is asthma driven by type 2 inflammation, and how we go about identifying it in our clinics. When we think about T2 high asthma in our clinic, one of the things we're thinking about first is whether or not there's a pattern of disease that we're seeing instead of just what the lab test might tell us. These are patients who keep having exacerbations. They're needing repeat courses of oral steroids or remaining symptomatic in spite of being on what we think might be appropriate inhaled therapies. They describe asthma that is controlled until it suddenly isn't, or they may have recurrent urgent care visits, ER visits, and numerous steroid bursts throughout the year. In some of those patients, asthma begins or worsens late childhood or adulthood, which also should make us think beyond simple intermittent asthma. So before we even get to eosinophils and fractional exhaled nitric oxide or IgE, the clinical question is, does this patient's asthma behave like a persistent inflammatory disease with ongoing exacerbation risk?
Yeah, and I think that those are really great points. One of the ways that I think about type 2 inflammation is that it's really an underlying disease that has different manifestations. So if you have someone that has asthma that also has other type 2 inflammatory diseases, then I think that this can clue you in that, gosh, this is probably what's underlying this patient's phenotype. So that might be chronic sinus disease with nasal polyps. It could be allergic rhinitis. Some patients we see, especially in children, present first with atopic dermatitis and or food allergy, and we're really seeing an increased incidence of things like eosinophilic esophagitis as well. Usually more in older children or adults, I start thinking about things like AERD or NSAID exacerbated respiratory disease, and these are ways to clue me in that a patient's asthma might be driven by type 2 inflammation. As you mentioned, you know, thinking about IgE, thinking about FeNO, eosinophils, these are all nice laboratory tests. We call this endotyping the patient in allergy immunology. And what we think about is that we can look for these different biomarkers, including just evidence of whether they have allergic sensitizations. One thing to remember is that you're only getting a snapshot in time when you check a biomarker. And so we know that these levels can fluctuate, and especially when we think about eosinophils, really these can be suppressed by systemic corticosteroids, but also by inhaled corticosteroids.
You bring up a great point. I often meet my patients in the intensive care unit or the ICU, and they've already started steroids by the time I'm meeting them in the intensive care unit. And so it may not be the right time to draw my labs or start some of that laboratory workup, but I'm definitely thinking through that history and whether or not they have eosinophilic esophagitis or whether they have known environmental or food allergies or a history of eczema. Sometimes the emergency room has already drawn a CBC with DIF or a complete blood cell count as a part of their evaluation of that severe exacerbation. And so I may luck out and have an early lab draw of part of my investigation at that time.
I agree. I think looking back in the patient's history is really a great way to think about, you know, what might these biomarkers have looked like prior to their acute presentation. I also think that this is where phenotyping the patient really matters. So we want to take a good thorough history in terms of what are your symptoms of asthma? What have you had as far as prior exacerbations? What medications have been tried for you and what have you responded to or not responded to? And I think that when we take all of these things into context together, we really can frame asthma as part of this multi-systemic type 2 disease where really what we're seeing is that inflammation affecting the surface epithelium, particularly of the lungs. We know that this type 2 inflammatory disease process in general really can affect any epithelial surface. And so I like to try and educate patients as well that this happens to be what, you know, you're actually creating in your body, but you may have family members that have disease in their sinuses, in their skin, in their GI tract. And we see this a lot where patients will present to different specialties and different specialists with these seemingly separate diagnoses. What we like to emphasize is that it's all really one disease. What you're actually seeing is just different presentations based on the patient's individual nature. I like to give the analogy that you get recipes from your family, right, that you hare it down over time, but everyone has their own ingredients. So everyone makes their own actual food. Same thing is true. You inherit this idea of being atopic from your family, but it may be that someone in your family has eczema, whereas you have asthma, or someone else might have sinus disease. And what do you think in terms of, you know, when we work together and we see patients, what's your take on how this underlying biology, whether it's not necessarily a pulmonary disease, how do you think that can improve the diagnosis, referrals, treatment selection?
I think we just are realizing how much we need to not practice in a vacuum anymore as subspecialists. And so when we take that history and we think about type 2 inflammation and we think about it as a driver of multisystemic or multi-organ disease, we're collaborative. And so we reach out to our GI colleagues, we reach out to our allergy immunology colleagues and pulmonologists, and it's been an opportunity to kind of get to the root of the driver of the disease. So where I may focus on asthma, let's say, and less so eosinophilic esophagitis, right? Knowing that I have a way to address inflammation that is driving multiple avenues of disease or multiple presentations or manifestations of disease in patients is really exciting.
I agree. I think it makes a lot of sense to patients and families as well that all of these things aren't happening separately. It's actually all one disease process that unifies them.
Well, Nicole, I'd like to thank you very much for this great conversation. And for the sake of completeness, once we recognize a possible T2 high pattern, the next step is to make it actionable. And that means confirming the asthma diagnosis, checking inhaler technique and adherence, and documenting exacerbations, steroid bursts, biomarkers, and comorbid T2 diseases.
Exactly. Recognition should lead to a more complete assessment, not just a label. So if the patient remains uncontrolled despite optimized therapy, or if the type 2 disease burden is broader than asthma alone, I really think that's the point to consider referral, you know, working together as we do in multidisciplinary management, and really whether biologic therapy might be appropriate.
I think in the ICU, we have focused for many years on pointing the finger at adherence. And really, perhaps it's that we need to be moving on towards treating underlying inflammation that is really a broader approach and a goal of moving away from being more reactive and just treating episodes to being more proactive and preventative, understanding that inflammatory pattern that's driving those exacerbations.
Yeah, ultimately our goal is really to reduce those exacerbations, minimize systemic corticosteroid exposure, and then really improve control across that full type 2 disease spectrum. Thank you, Anne.
And thank you for watching. We hope this discussion will help you as you approach patients with inflammatory asthma in your clinics.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review in your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Listen and subscribe to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, "What's my flash briefing?" Thanks today to our guest, Drs. Griffiths and Chase. Join me next time for an episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.